I deeply appreciate those people who are praying for us each Sunday. There are times when I think what happens here is a work of God. What happens in our hearts, what happens in our fellowship is a work of God, because God is responding to those prayers. And this word this morning, I think, is something that we should tend to. If there's anything about our lives that is basically destructive, destroying our individual lives, that we pay attention to that. There are very few times in our lives where we get that kind of a prompt, like we had this morning, the prompt to consider our lives. Is there something that's actually working against that kind of life that God is trying to bring to me? Is there something that is working against the family that God wants our family to be? These are things that are most important, and we just need to pay attention to those times when the Holy Spirit gives us a word like that and try to respond to it and say, what is it, Lord, that you're trying to show us? Well, this morning we're going to take a look at one of those things that sometimes dogs are heels. We're still in the love chapter, chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, looking at God's plan for growing up in Christ, and that's how that's to learn how to love. Let's read together. But eagerly desire the greater gifts, and now I show you the most excellent way. If I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in the evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. We're going to take a look at that word where it says, love is not easily angered. And I think it's a realistic thing for us to admit anger first, that we have it, and also learn how to respond, or how God expects us to respond to it. I think it's also important to talk with our children about anger, to help them understand that it's there, it's realistic, it's something that they'll experience, but surely something that they'll need to learn how to manage. And that is what the kind of the topic this morning. It starts, anger, it starts when we legislate required behavior for another person. We may or not choose to tell the other person. So they're in trouble already. Here are some, let's see, in Old English, examples of that. When thou drivest thine automobile, thou shalt not turn to the left or to the right in front of me, except thou signalest thine intention to do so with thine turn signal. Thou shalt not let the sun go down on my phone call or my email, but thou shalt return it today while it is yet called today. Thou shalt love me in the way that I want to be loved, with thy whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you break one of my statutes, I log my violation in that violation in my mental record book. I may not present that evidence to you, depending on my preference. After all, I can do whatever I want in my imaginary world in which I divinely reign. In either case, I am both the star witness and the chief prosecutor against you. Moreover, I play both judge and executioner. I sound the gavel and pronounce you guilty, sentence you to whatever punishment within my power, and meet out the justice. Now, there may be some things about that that sound similar. A lot of it's kind of fun. But that's how it goes. Sometimes, in a split second, we are easily angered. Anger. Quite an interesting thing. The NIV translates it, love is not easily angered. The Jerusalem Bible says, love is not touchy. Another version, the New Revised Standard, love it is not irritable. The American Standard Version, love is not easily provoked. Love, Lewis Smead says, puts a long fuse on our emotional bombs. I like that. Ask yourself, this is kind of a pretest question. How would the quality of your life improve if you used your anger in safe and acceptable ways? How would it improve? Now, we know that anger itself is not right or wrong in itself. There is no morality in the feelings that we have. It's what we do with those feelings and where we go with those feelings. Anger can rise from a lot of things: grieving, feeling misunderstood, having values that are in conflict in a relationship, negotiating what you want in a relationship. You can learn positive things to do with your anger. So it's important to try to understand what prompted the feeling. Most of the time, that's the issue. What's the core issue? Anger is one emotion people use to respond to threat or stresses or loss. It can be a real threat, stress or loss, or it can be one that we make up in our own mind. Anger, like a hammer, can be a tool for construction or deconstruction, to build or to break. Anger is a necessary part of being a human being. We're not supposed to, as Christians, become Spock-like with no anger. But we are. It's important for us to learn how to deal with it. There are many people who try to repress their anger because they think that somehow anger itself is wrong. As a result, we end up repressing it. We try to channel it, we sublimate it, we let it roll over us, we dream and we fantasize in our anger, we feel ashamed of it, we talk to our friends and sometimes counselors about it. One takeaway that I'd like to recommend today is, are you praying about it? Are you praying about your anger or the things that tick you off? The reason I recommend that is that seldom do we do this. We just get hot. We let it out. There's pain. There's patching it up. And then we move on. Sometimes God shows us unique ways to respond correctly when we have times of anger. We have a hard time, I think, bringing anger to God in our prayer life. And there are so many scriptures that show us a better way. I know a lot of Christians that I've talked to try to justify their anger by saying, well, you know, Jesus was angry. Well, that's true. Jesus was angry. But there are many scriptures, like the ones I'm going to read to you, that show us the potential of anger. We need to understand that. In Psalm 37:8, it says, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil. I find that interesting, that fretting is in the same context. Do not refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret. The fretting is sometimes what leads to anger. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit. Ecclesiastes 7:9 reads, for anger resides in the lap of fools. What picture comes to your mind when you hear that? Anger resides in the lap of fools. Is it strange, a strange thing? Why would the readers say that? So, point well made.
I see a picture of my 110-pound bull mastiff trying to sit in my lap growling. I can't surround her. I can't control her. She's not comfortable sitting there.
Well, there's a picture to take home. Somehow that seems so appropriate to the depth that is in anger. Proverbs 29:11 says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. Ephesians chapter 4:26 through 31 says, in your anger do not sin. And then do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. That's quite the context, isn't it? We've heard that verse before. And that ending usually sticks with us. And do not give the devil a foothold. What is it that gives the devil a foothold? Okay, this is just so we can remember this beyond this hour. Anger. We need to sometimes acknowledge the destructive ways we deal with anger. What are some of the ways that we deal with anger? raising a voice. Okay? Crying. Driving. Ooh. Uh-huh. What's that? Using hurtful words. Sarcasm. Running away. Cutting off a relationship. Yeah. Forming grudges. We start to hurt people. That's kind of in the blow up, where you let it all hang out. Sometimes we turn it inward. Yes. Take it out on ourselves. You know, there are some who even say, well, I just have a temper. What are they saying when they say, well, I just have a temper? I'm not going to deal with it, and rationalizing the behavior. Absolutely. Is there such a thing as an uncontrollable temper? When you're seven. When you're seven, but not when you're a physician of 52, said by a nurse. I'm just wondering about that, you know. Is there no such thing as having an uncontrollable temper? There are times when they're in process learning what it means to control their temper. And so you'll see that they're, what would you say, their failures more often. Until they learn that process of controlling it. Okay. There is a way of enjoying our anger. Yes? Letting it set. And it produces bitterness. Absolutely. The following picture, a root of what? Bitterness. Yes. A root of bitterness. I love this little thing. It's what happens. It's what happened to us. Here was an interesting t-shirt you could get. Bitterness, drinking poison and hoping someone else dies. It makes that much sense, doesn't it? It makes that much sense. When we were in Malawi, we drove by one of these that some children had just dispatched. Some small children. It's quite interesting. This is a green mamba. It is not the most dangerous snake in the world. It is among the most dangerous snakes in the world. You can Google this to see what happens when people get bit by them. It's not a pretty picture. Skin and flesh and muscle and everything die if they survive. It's also known as the fastest snake in the world. These little kids, that's amazing. They just took care of it. Anger's this way too. Sometimes it comes upon us very fast. It's very interesting the way the anger is described in Scripture, it goes from everything kind of on a spectrum from a slow boil to this example that we have here, being easily angered. The common element, wherever it's used, is that there's a loss of emotional and behavioral control in the way Scripture is used. An amazing temper. Uncontrollable temper. Fathers, have your children ever said to their mothers, "Mommy, why do idiots come out whenever Daddy drives?" A woman was confessing her temper to a friend, and her friend said, before she confessed it, her disclaimer was this. I mean, she confessed it, she said, as a disclaimer, "But it's over in a minute." And her friend said, "So is a shotgun. It blows everything up." That fast, quick, impulsive response blows things to bits. So sometimes we let it out, we blow up, sometimes we suppress it, like you said. But what happens when we suppress it? It comes out other ways. It can come out in your body. What would be any... We become sick.
Depression.
We become depressed. That's anger turned inward sometimes, is depression. We suppress it. I remember one time my mother was cooking green peas in a pressure cooker, and it blew green peas all over everywhere. All over the ceiling. The ceiling was just dripping with green pea soup. The walls were dripping with green pea soup. That's what happens when we suppress anger and not deal with what is actually we're angry about. High blood pressure, heart problems, anxiety, ulcers. Another way we deal with it is to just break off relationships. We kind of talked about that. I remember reading a story about two sisters who grew up and bought a home together, and they started feuding, and so they drew a line down the house and wouldn't talk with each other. Imagine what kind of energy it would take to figure out who owned what in a thing like that. But there should be some constructive ways that we deal with our anger. And I think taking a look at the problems anger causes is important. Let's think about parenting. What does a hot-tempered parent produce? What's that? A hot-tempered child? And or a victim? A victim who becomes a controller? Sometimes a very compliant but yet fearful child as well. That's not what we are about as parents. And yet we sometimes don't deal with these core issues which affect the very thing that we're trying to do. Imagine reading, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." Well, what happens if you're a child and you can't get away from that man, the hot-tempered man? What if he's your dad or mom? That's tough going. That's just tough going. How about at work? Don't you just love being around hot-tempered coworkers? A hot-tempered boss? Aren't you just glad they're on your team? Turn it around. Do people enjoy or avoid you at work? Do you think it could be because you're hard to be around, that you're irritable or easily provoked? Now, the same is true at school or in the neighborhood, on a soccer field, basketball court, or at church. Remember the context of these words? This is to a church at Corinth. Have you ever been afraid to express your opinion about something at church because you're afraid of what someone who's hot-headed may say or do or think about it? I have. Paul told the church in Ephesus in Ephesians 4 to work up their anger so as not to give the devil a foothold. This was to the church. One writer says it this way: within the church, it's easy to see how those who are easily provoked to anger carelessly frighten, hurt, or divide people. They invite and accentuate conflict. In another place, one writes this: angry people are focused not on others, but on their own emotions and issues. Notice how that ties into self-seeking from last week. When leaders are angry, problems are exaggerated or miscommunicated, or misunderstanding abounds and objectivity and reason disappear. When anger rules, small problems become large explosions that can blow a fellowship to pieces. So how do we deal with it? How do we deal with anger? Can you just list briefly some ways that you think might be helpful? Now, you could have used them before, but you think they might be helpful in dealing with anger. Exercise. Helps burn off some steam, doesn't it? What was that? And chocolate, prayer and chocolate. Do I hear some amens? I like that. Count to 10. What does that do?
Gives you time to think about what you're going to say or do.
To cool down. It's a cool down. Here's the thing. I think it's an interesting thing. There are times when anger is appropriate. No question about it. But the problem is we often get angry about things that don't matter. And we don't get angry about things that matter to God. How do we sort it out? How do we sort that out? What would you recommend? Go to the Word.
Thank you.
other things that we could do. Deal with them as they happen, so you don't have a buildup. Yes. I'd just like to recommend one more, once again, prayer. Oh, over here. Well said. It's a lack of love. Wait for love to lead you. When love leads, it changes things. It transforms. Love may still speak to issues. And love may sometimes speak strongly. But it will be measured in a sense. Love is not easily angered, are you? How would you say this kind of love? Love is not easily angered. How would you say this type of love is working in you? Would you just pray with me as I ask you a few questions and see if there's anything that God points out? What blocks this love from being exhibited in you at times? Do you know? What would it take to get this kind of love working in you? What would you be willing to do about it? Father, we thank you for resources that you've placed in our world and before us to help us deal with the difficulties that cause anger. We thank you for your Holy Spirit of power who is in us and is at work to make us more like your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for help from him and instruction that gives us a different possibility or response. Thank you for your word. It's life-giving and gives us direction for life. We pray that you would show us more from your word so that we can live that which is your plan for our lives. We pray that you would show us new and more effective ways of responding so that we can stop resentment Show us from your word how we can deal with things so they don't build up and destroy our relationships or what you're trying to do in our lives. We thank you for your amazing grace that exceeds even our failures in this area, that you didn't grow so angry with us that you deal with this without mercy and grace. May your name be praised. Amen.